This is Basketball U.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Welcome in. It's the Friday Basketball U on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcast. Tyler Aki with you twice a week, and we're going to do some fun stuff on Thursdays, Fridays, whenever we find the time for it. Brian Hanley joins me here on Basketball U. We're going to go through our picks for the weekend and get you set with everything you need to know for the upcoming college basketball weekend. Brian, how you doing on this Friday?
Tyler, I'm still tired from all the basketball on Tuesday night, but you know, this is the great part of college basketball these days. You're not playing, the ranked teams aren't playing the hyphen directional schools. You're actually getting legit marquee matchups, national TV, national powers. And I mean, it's early in the season and it's already great.
And we've got Feast Week, like you mentioned, coming up. Cannot wait for all of that. But what Brian and I are going to do every single, kind of leading you into the weekend, we're going to look at some of the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday games, tell you what we like, whether we see a spread, a straight-up matchup that we like. And we're also going to give you a team, a top 25 team, that we think could lose to an unranked team. So let's start with some of the Friday action here, Brian. Indiana taking on Xavier. This game is being played in Cincinnati, home game for Xavier. Right now, the odds have Indiana as a 1.5-point favorite on the road against the Musketeers. What do you see in this matchup between the Big Ten preseason champs and the Xavier Musketeers?
Well, some places the line has moved a point to Hoosiers minus 2.5, so the money's coming in on the number 12th ranked and Big Ten favorites, Indiana University. Tell me if Colby Jones is going to play since he injured his ankle in practice at Xavier on Monday. He's the All-Big East preseason pick, first-team pick for Xavier. The best bet I'd give you today is that he's going to play, right? Yeah. I mean, that they can try to couch it any way they want and how he feels, and you know, we're not going to put him in jeopardy. Colby Jones will be out. The question is how effective and what kind of impact will he have with the ankle. They obviously took pictures of the ankle. It's not broken, and doesn't sound like it's high ankle sprain. So he'll be in some discomfort, but I think he's going to play. And, you know, he gives you 13.5 points, 7 assists, 4 rebounds. I mean, Xavier, it's 130 miles from IU, and even though IU has their own Jay Hood in Jalen Hood, yep. Shavino, Jay Hood out there, freshman forward. I'm going to give you the pick here. The unranked Musketeers are going to upset the Hoosiers, and I'm not sure how good the Big Ten is, and that's coming after Michigan State went to double overtime against Kentucky and found a way to win. But I just don't see it. I mean, some of the things that have been going well for Indiana so far, I don't know, has staying power. So I would say that they're making 40% of their threes, IU is. Last season they were 33%, so they might be overreaching early here. Yeah. They might come back to the mean, but I'm just going to – Xavier's a tough place to play, and they don't get many games like this early in particular. Interesting, 58% of the public money is on IU. You would think it would be even higher than that.
Right, yeah.
So I'm going to go with Xavier as my upset pick here, and I'll take the points for sure, and I think they find a way to win it outright.
You know, I'm right there with you on this. I think the size of Xavier is another thing that is going to disrupt – Indiana a little bit as well when you look at
the Iowa transfer.
Yeah, Jack Nungy, he's been a 7-footer. I mean, this is a small team on the other side for IU and a pretty big one for Xavier. So I really like the size that Xavier brings. I like their offensive rebounding capability as well. I think that's going to pose a little bit of an issue. And at home, I mean, this is a Xavier team that's shooting the ball at a 45% clip from three-point land. That's top 15 in the country right now. So I use a pretty good three-point defense, but what can you judge that on in the two games that they've played so far against Bethune-Cookman and Morehead State, right? So I'm going to roll with Xavier. I like the pick with you there. I do have a different team that I am going to take as an upset special later on, so I'll save that for a little bit later. Next up, we've got Xavier and Baylor. Baylor, it looks like, has moved out to a 6.5-point favorite in most places over the Virginia Cavaliers. What do you see in this matchup, Brian?
Well, I saw Tony Bennett in Vegas once, but it wasn't the coach. I left my money in Las Vegas, not just my heart. This is interesting because obviously the campus shooting on the three football players at Virginia,
right.
You don't know where the mindset of the entire campus, let alone the athletes who share the same facilities, may be. And it was great that Scott Drew said that he had his players send notes to the Virginia basketball players. So there's still some sportsmanship in at the college level. Yeah. So that's terrific.
You want to talk about two of the classiest programs too.
Amen.
Baylor and Virginia.
Yep. And because of the coaches.
Exactly.
I mean, they set the tone and the culture. UVA has been off since November 11th. And, you know, it's not a long time in most people's lives, but for basketball, I think it's a little bit longer than I'd appreciate. And you get a guy who's got 25 double-doubles in the last 27 games for Baylor and Adam Flagler. I think that line should be higher. I really do. And I know that you got a 16th-ranked Virginia team, but it is number 5 Baylor. And UVA is made 13 of 25 threes versus Monmouth, but it was Monmouth. And, I mean, I don't know. They haven't really played anybody, so I really can't. They return all their starters, 5 starters. Mm-hmm. Here's an interesting, they were an NIT team, so you got to remember that,
yeah,
right?
Right.
But they returned 91.4% of their scoring from last season, which is the most in the NCAA. I still can't make a case for them. Here's what I can make a case, even though they make 13 to 25 threes against Monmouth and they out-rebound them and they return all that scoring, the total is 130.5. I find that awful low. I would bet the under here, but I find Baylor, I think, should win going away. But the line to me should be even higher than the 5.5. But I'll take Baylor, and I don't think it'll be that close, but I'll also take the under there.
Yeah, I like Baylor to win outright. I do think Virginia can keep it close, though, in a low-scoring game. I'm with you there. I think this will be a low-scoring game. Two very good defenses and defensive cultures as well. Obviously, you know about Tony Bennett and how he likes to slow things down offensively, too. But Virginia can shoot the basketball a little bit. You brought up some of the age metrics there. They're the 10th oldest team. Their average experience on this roster is 3.1 years.
And you got to like that. I mean, usually like that going in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Like who's been around, who's been through the wars. But they were the NIT team last year.
If they were
an NCAA team returning 5 starters, I'd be all over it, taking the points. But that's a big jump and a big leap and going to the big stage in Las Vegas. I hear what you're saying. I mean, that when you have continuity like that, you can make a case, but I think Baylor's too good here.
Yeah, I am going to take Virginia with the points, but I do think Baylor does win this one outright here. Those neutral site games, too, they can be a little bit weird early on. This is another game being played out in Vegas, and one certainly of intrigue within this state right now. That's Illinois taking on UCLA. I think this is going to be one of the best games that we're going to see all weekend in what is a loaded weekend slate here, but I'm really looking forward to this game tonight. UCLA, a 3.5-point favorite over, and in some places has moved to 4. UCLA, a 4-point favorite over Illinois.
Yeah, Terrence Shannon Jr. coming from Texas Tech. I mean, just been terrific for the Illini, right? And I know you got Jaden Epps helping out there. Here's the thing. You've got 4 freshmen playing at least 15 minutes, more than 15 minutes for Brad Underwood right now. That's a lot of youth out there, right? I think the Illini cover. I wouldn't discount that they can find a way to win this game, but the numbers here are almost identical. I mean, Illinois averages 74.4 points a game. And again, neither team has played anybody. UCLA, 75.4 points. I mean, they're right there for points allowed, 67.2 for the Illini, UCLA, 64.5. And their shooting percentage is almost spot on, 51.1 for Illinois, 51.8 for UCLA. The rebounding, it does go Illinois' way. And so that could be pivotal. They average 6-7 more rebounds a game than UCLA to this point. The numbers are just identical here. So I'll take the points with the Illini, but I think UCLA probably wins a really close one.
I'm going to join you there taking the points on Illinois. I think they have a really good chance to win this one outright. I look at the way that Illinois shot the ball early on. I know, like you mentioned, they haven't really faced anyone in the early stages of this season. But I think another thing with Illinois is The defensive drop-off has not been as steep as I would have expected a team that has had guys like Kofi Coburn on the back end. And I think that they're just more flexible defensively now with some of their bigs. With Coleman Hawkins, he can guard pretty much anyone 1 through 5. Dane Danger has been really good, a Baylor transfer. They've got another Baylor transfer in Matthew Meyer, too, who I really like. I like the youth on this team, and I like the blend of transfers as well with tournament experience and championship experience, too. So I think Illinois not only covers in this game, but I think they actually win this one outright against UCLA.
And Jalen Clark for UCLA, mm-hmm. I mean, he's shooting 66.7% from the field, 20 of 30. And he's 7 of 13 from beyond the arc. And last year he hit on 26% of his threes. So I don't know if he's shooting out of his the numbers say he's shooting out of his mind.
Yeah.
I think that he's got to regress to the mean somewhere along the way. But, I mean, if he's going to hit 67% of his shots, good luck, Illinois.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, shooting is always the great equalizer. And, you know, like, you could see a guy like Amari Bailey, their top 10 freshman that they've got to UCLA. He hasn't shot the ball well here in the early stages, but maybe this is where he sort of finds his rhythm, gets himself in an NBA-style arena, and can really find his touch from deep. So we'll see what happens. But I think this has the capability of being the best game of the weekend. I know we've got a great one Sunday that we'll preview in a little bit, but I'm really looking forward to this Illinois and UCLA matchup. How about this one? Sparty, a 6.5-point favorite at home, going up against Villanova. And Villanova struggling out of the gate. They lost to Temple early on. A little bit of a shaky start to Kyle Neptune's beginning at the program, taking over for Jay Wright. But Michigan State, even though they're 2-1 here to open up this season, they may be the most impressive team that I've seen, at least in terms of exceeding expectations in the early portion of the season.
Well, look, it's the battle to get in the top 25. I mean, and Michigan State is just outside with 119 top 25 votes, and obviously that was taken before the double overtime win over Kentucky, which the score 86-77 doesn't show you how close that was. Joey Hauser, I remember him from somewhere. I remember him somewhere. He and his brother used to play somewhere up and around Milwaukee in my old stomping ground, Marquette. And if it's even possible that Steve Wachowski is a worse TV analyst than he was a coach, I believe it is from what I've seen. Awful as a sideline coach with Marquette, worse on TV. But, hey, God bless, he's got all that money for Marquette had to pay him to go away. Joey Hauser is a guy who can put the ball in the hoop, and they, you know, Tom Izzo actually knows how to use him. So he's averaging 23 points. If you've ever been to East Lansing for a game, it's a tough place to play no matter if the Spartans are ranked or not. Not for football necessarily. Mel Tucker's still stealing money over there. Yeah. But Tom Izzo, he's done it for a while here at a good high level. Nova, you know, Jay Wright leaving and Kyle Neptune coming in, they missed all 16 of their threes in the first half against Delaware State on Monday. All 16 of threes against the always tough Delaware State. I don't know their nickname. And they found a way to win, and that's what Kyle was saying, how resilient his group was, that they found a way to beat Delaware State by 10 points. Minus 6.5 here, mm-hmm. minus 12.5, 13, Michigan State rolls here. I can't see any other way.
I'm with you, especially at the Breslin Center. I do think this one is going to be a big Michigan State win. I kind of look at what we've seen out of Michigan State in the early going. They've got a couple guards that in a backcourt driven league for a conference right now that's sort of grasping to try to find that next mm-hmm. great point guard. They may have it with Tyson Walker. I saw him play at Northeastern a couple years ago. I've really liked him ever since. I think he's kind of settled into a nice spot at Michigan State. And on the other side, I mean, There's another spawn at point guard, Hanley. I mean, Chris Archidiakono, he may look more like Colin Gillespie than he does his brother Ryan Archidiakono.
Bulls are already going to put him a uniform on him,
yeah,
too?
Exactly. I think AK may be scouting up there this weekend.
But here's the only thing is, does Tom Izzo's team have a little bit of letdown after the big win? So they might come out slow to start, but I think they'll rectify that early. Again, the total is 130.5. That seems low. That means that tells me they don't think Nova's going to score much at all. But Michigan State might struggle early, but they'll find a way to cover. It's just, you know, when you have a huge win like that, and you got off the mat and found a way in double overtime to knock off Kentucky, everyone on the campus is going to tell you how great you are. So you have to kind of tune that out. And it might take them a few minutes into the game to you know, get back to business.
I could see it being one of those games where it's tied at half, maybe either team's up 1 or 2 points, and then Michigan State just catches a little bit of fire. Like, yeah, we'll see like 9 points in a row out of Joey Hauser in the second half. And that'll
might take the under in the first half on that one.
Yeah. Just
that what is it'll probably be about 64 or so, 64 and a half.
Yeah.
Might go under there.
Not a bad call there at all. Let's get to the Sunday games. I mean, we've got some great teams in action on Sunday, starting with Kentucky and Gonzaga. How about Cal going out on the road, but not really going on the road, because he says, we're not going to play in the kennel. We're going to play in an actual arena. So this one's being played at the Spokane Center instead of it's at the Spokane Veterans Memorial Arena, as opposed to the usual home stomping grounds for the Gonzaga Bulldogs inside the kennel at the McCarthy Athletic Center there. But this is what people have wanted to see from Cal for a long time, see him go out on the road and play.
Well, that's going out on the road. That's a hell of a long way from Lexington.
Yeah. So it's
if it's Spokane or Seattle, it's a long flight.
He's calling it a home and home. Is it really a home and home? Who's to say? But either way, we've got a great matchup between two top five teams, Gonzaga and Kentucky, each coming off of losses here. I mean, that Gonzaga beatdown on Wednesday to Texas, they're going to be licking their wounds on Sunday. Can Gonzaga get back into the win column against a really, really talented Kentucky team?
Yeah, I look at these numbers, and, you know, right now, Kentucky, and they played Michigan State, and the numbers are inflated because of double overtime, but averaging 88 points per game to Gonzaga's 80.7. They can rebound. This number kind of stuck out to me. UK's assist to turnover ratio is 1.6, which is 34th in the country. Mm. And Gonzaga is 0.8, which is 268th.
One game is played on a boat. Are we given a little boat buffer here?
Well, there are boats, and then there are, you know,
there's aircraft carriers.
It's not exactly a dinghy there, Captain. He can't hit free throws. What's going on with him?
No.
Which concerns me a bit. But that said, I can't see them dropping two games in a row. I don't care if it's Spokane, Seattle, pick another city in Seattle, out in Washington. I just know those two. I'll take Kentucky here. I'm going to guess that line is going to be a pick 'em or Gonzaga a point and a half or so. I mean, it's going to be a close line. There's no line set at this point. But I'm going to say Kentucky finds the bounce back, even though they're traveling a long ways to go to a number two Zaga team that's going to be tough.
I think this game could actually be decided relatively early, and I'm not saying it's going to be a blowout. What I'm saying is you're going to know who's going to win this game in the first half based on the matchup between Drew Timmy and Oscar Tshiebwe. Can Drew Timmy get Oscar Tshiebwe in foul trouble? And if he can't, I don't think that Gonzaga really stands a chance, because we saw how when Tshiebwe fouled out against Michigan State, it was over for the Wildcats after that.
Yeah.
And here's the thing that Timmy doesn't have the benefit of that he's had the last couple of seasons, is that when one of the bigs got in foul trouble, Gonzaga was fine because there was another guy there that could step up. He had Chet before. He had Corey Kispert before that. I don't know if he's got that sort of security blanket anymore, given what he's had in the past. So if he can't get Tshiebwe into foul trouble early on, I don't think that Gonzaga is going to end up winning this basketball game. But I do think that Timmy is a guy who can cause some difficulty for
Tshiebwe. Well, he's 36 or
right.
How long
he's
has he been
36. He's got a better mustache than you or I could grow. And I just think
I rocked one in the 80s.
Everyone
did.
Did you see the pictures surface of Roy Williams back in the 80s? He had the Ted Lasso mustache. He looked like a dead ringer for Ted Lasso and Jason Sudeikis. I couldn't believe it.
Image likeness. How much is Timmy making on mustache products?
Oh boy.
I mean,
somebody check that.
Yeah.
I know he said he was going to make more money coming back to college than he would going to the NBA based on where he was projected to be drafted. So,
well, I can see that. But I mean, how many more years does he have eligibility? They just let him stay there until like his kids are playing? I don't.
He'll be next in the radio booth once Adam Morrison gets bored. And
he should
out.
take Steve Wachowski's job.
Exactly.
Bad.
I do think that Timmy can cause some difficulty, though, for Oscar Tshiebwe. And we've seen him really turn it on in the second halves of games as well. So I'm actually going to take Gonzaga in a bounce-back game here straight up.
We differ. All right.
Yeah, against Kentucky at home.
We should bet a long shot or a couple beers on that.
So here's what I'm thinking we'll do, all right? For the spread picks, let's make them worth two. For the straight-up picks, we'll make them worth one. And then your upset pick, we'll make that worth 3 points, and we'll count them up, and we'll keep track of the standings over the course of the year. How about that?
I'm going for booze over lunch, but
all right,
we could have booze for lunch, too. Yeah, day drinking.
Exactly. Yep.
That's what Peggy and Dion do. So.
Yep. Why not us, right?
Yeah.
All right. Last game on Sunday, Houston is on the road to take on Oregon. Houston, in my opinion, looks like the best team in the country right now.
Amen.
And, I mean, I know they haven't played anyone, right? We've said that how many times today so far? But the manner in which they're doing it on both ends of the floor, I mean, they've scored 83 points in three of their four games. Exactly 83 points in three of the four games. That lone outlier, they scored 81. So consistency there. And then defensively, they've held every team under 55, including three games under 50 as well. So Houston, let me start with this. Does Houston look like the best team in the country to you?
Yeah, and they really haven't even started shooting threes yet, right? So they're going to have to start doing it at some point. I know Oregon's a really tough place to play football when you go on the road to play there. I can't make a case for the Ducks here. I really can't. And I think there's another level or two that Houston can reach, and I'm with you. I think they're the best right now. But when I look at it, the eye test and the numbers and everything else, I don't know what that line's going to be because they are on the road. They got to be favored by 6 or 5 somewhere, and that's conservative maybe. Mm-hmm. And I think they win by double digits.
So KenPom right now has the projection as a 69-65 Houston win. I think just the way that Houston's playing right now, they far exceed the 4 points that are being spotted there on KenPom. I think this is a dominant team. I mean, you talk about they're not shooting threes yet. Absolutely. They're shooting sub 30% from three right now, but they play defense with their hair on fire. I mean, we saw it last year in the tournament, right? Kelvin Sampson knows how to coach these guys defensively. They look like the tougher team every time they're out on the floor. They look like the more active team every time they're out on the floor. I like Houston as well in this matchup. All right. You gave us your upset pick earlier, Xavier. That's what you're rolling with for your top 25 team to fall. How about this? All right, I'm going out on a limb here for this one. I think we're going to see the number one team in the country lose this weekend. I think we're going to see James Madison upset North Carolina in Chapel Hill. How about this one? James Madison, a top 100 team per KenPom right now, coming out of the Sun Belt Conference, which they just moved to. This team shoots the lights out, and this is a UNC team that isn't very strong defensively. They're also not as talented rebounding-wise as well, which is a little bit uncharacteristic for a North Carolina team, especially a North Carolina team that brings back a dominant center in Armando Bacot. I think the Dukes could get hot in this one. They're shooting 51% from three, and this is a UNC team that right now is about middle of the entire country in three-point defense. I think we see the number one team in the country lose this weekend against James Madison.
If that happens, Tyler, then Roy Williams won't be the guy growing the Ted Lasso mustache.
You know,
the current North Carolina coach will do that to make sure no one recognizes him.
And Hubert had, I mean, I get it. It's a one-year sample size that we're going off of here, but Hubert did have his hiccups early on, and this team looks a little shaky in the early stages. I think that if UNC goes out and beats James Madison by double digits in this game, I think that is a very good win for them, just based on the way that they've played. A six-point win against Gardner-Webb earlier. Charleston, they won by 16, but it played a little bit closer than that. UNC-Wilmington, 13-point win, played a little bit closer than that, though. I think James Madison could really give this team trouble, and if they find their three-point shooting stroke in the first half, I think could put a hurting on this North Carolina team. And maybe it's the wake-up call that the Tar Heels need, too.
All right. You talked me into taking the points with the old Jimmy Madison. So.
Glad to do that there. All right. Real quickly, we got to talk about our two teams, too. I think this is like a one-on-one intervention here for the two of us because your team lost to an actual team this week. You guys lost to Purdue, but it was in excruciating fashion. With Marquette, they had the lead. They were up, what were they, up 8 or 9 points on Purdue. Let that slip away down the stretch. Zach Edey started to put his stamp on the game. But what the hell happened there?
It was the last 5 minutes were offensively as ugly as those stupid, whatever, the coveralls the student section wears at Purdue.
Yes.
Boy, that's an ugly group.
Oh, boy.
You know, that is a tough place to play. Would have been a really huge win for Shaka Smart and Marquette because that's a great team and it's a really tough place. I covered so many games at Mackey Arena and you can't hear yourself think in the place. And if you've ever been to West Lafayette, and I've had family members go to Purdue, I've been there enough, you understand why there's no East Lafayette. There's no there. I mean, if you're there for engineering, it's a perfect place. No one's going to bother you. Study because you got nothing else to do. But you know, Shaka Smart just can't get a full 40 minutes from his teams to this point. And they had a great defensive plan early. They were making the extra pass. They were moving the ball. And then the final 5 minutes, they went scoreless pretty much, almost 4.5 minutes without a point. And it was too much one-on-one, jacking up threes. There goes the lead. There goes the game. And, you know everything's restored in order down at Purdue. But, yeah, I was glued to the TV. That was one of the 3 or 4 games I watched Tuesday night. And I was rooting for him. And somewhere in the back of my head, I knew something would go wrong. And it did. So what are you going to do in Syracuse?
Oh, boy.
Hey.
Oh, boy. There's problems there.
Yeah. It's now a football school.
So they've lost to Colgate now in consecutive years. And basically what Colgate does is
just brush that off.
They come in the dome and they shoot the lights out against this team. They go 19 of 39 from three, including 8 for 13 from Tucker Richardson. They had three guys in this game make at least 4 threes, including one guy off the bench, Oliver Lynch Daniels. But you want to know the most concerning stat to me? Are you aware of the stat called the trillion?
No.
The trillion is where you don't record a stat across the board.
Oh,
Syracuse, so you just have the minutes stat. It's usually reserved for walk-ons because they'll come in, they'll record one, and then across the board there's nothing else, right? When you look in the box score, zero field goals, 0 points, zero assists, rebounds, turnovers, fouls, all
GPA
that stuff.
GPA is zero.
GPA may be zero, but that's what the paper classes are for. I look at this box score and I see two freshmen, two very talented freshmen, two top 100 guys that are supposed to be a key part of what Syracuse is doing this season on a very young Syracuse team. We've got an 8 trillion and a 6 trillion. I don't like that, Hanley. I don't like that one bit.
You like that in a Powerball ticket, Jackpot.
Yes.
Yeah, but you don't like that for the top. They're not in top 100 anymore after that trillion.
No, sir. So it's a tough season. And let's just say if you lose to Northeastern, you may not have my attention for the rest of the year. Although I am going down. They are playing at Illinois. So I am going to go down to Illinois with some of my buddies and with some people here at the station that are Illinois fans.
Have you ever been to the beautiful Twin Cities of Champaign?
I actually have not. I've never took a college visit there or anything. But I'll have to get the to-do list from you.
I spent my first beat at the Sun-Times was Illinois in the Big Ten. So I spent at least 4 or 5 years traveling I-57 back and forth in my little Honda Civic that I would get up to about 90 miles an hour on the way back just to get home at 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
You'll enjoy it. You're still young enough to enjoy a college campus, as was I back in the day.
Awesome.
But other than that, you wouldn't want to go. I mean, it's a good school, really good school.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, yeah.
like I say for Syracuse, it's a nice spot for 4 years. And that's about it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, Hanley. Well, I've got all of our picks added up here, and we will count the points when we come back next Friday. I appreciate you hopping on with us and looking forward to doing this every single week.
All right. We're gonna roll. The odds couple is in trouble because we're going to roll this weekend. Yeah. Maybe.
Watch out, DeFalco.
Jimmy!
All right, Hanley. We'll talk to you next week. Appreciate it.
Talk to you, Tyler.